And welcome to Law for Community Workers on the Go. This is a series of podcasts brought to you by Legal Aid New South Wales. In each episode, one of us from the Community Legal Education branch will be chatting to experts on different legal topics. We're really excited to have you all listening today, and we hope that you'll learn something new and interesting.
Before we begin today, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we're meeting today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to elders past and present. I'd also like to pay my respects to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people that may be listening today, wherever you are.
My name is Joshua Scotland, and I'm a solicitor in the Community Legal Education branch. Today we're meeting with Louisa Deer from the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission. If someone has a problem with police, one of the first people they may tell after friends and family could be a community worker. Because of this, I think it's important that community workers have a good understanding of the work of the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission. That being said, our advice is that if you ever have a problem with police, you should get legal advice straight away about what your options are. And the best way to start is by contacting Law Access New South Wales. They can be reached on 1300 888 529. Louisa, can you tell us what the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission does?
Sure. So, Josh, as you mentioned, we are the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission, or the LEC as we're affectionately known. We are the civilian oversight body for the New South Wales Police Force and also the New South Wales Crime Commission. We commenced operations on the 1st of July 2017, so we've been operational for about 9 months now, and we replaced the Police Integrity Commission, which I imagine a lot of your listeners would remember. The Police Integrity Commission looked into allegations of serious misconduct and serious maladministration within the New South Wales Police Force. We also replaced the Police and Compliance Branch of the New South Wales Ombudsman's Office, and the Police and Compliance Branch had the oversight function, which monitored how the police investigated complaints about their own officers. And finally, we replaced the Inspector of the Crime Commission, as we also have oversight of the Crime Commission now. Yeah.
Just to break down a little bit some of the things that you said, that you are responsible for investigating complaints about serious misconduct and serious maladministration by police officers.
Yeah. And also civilian employees of the police as well.
Okay.
And Crime Commission officers. So I guess it'd be good to explain what serious misconduct and serious maladministration is, and also talk a little bit about the police's responsibility for handling complaints about their own officers as well. So serious misconduct and serious maladministration, they're both quite broad terms. And it is quite a high threshold. So we have an agreement with the New South Wales Police Force and the New South Wales Crime Commission, which sets out what is considered to be serious misconduct and serious maladministration. And complaints that meet that threshold are called notifiable complaints. So to give you a bit of an idea of the types of complaints that would be considered serious misconduct or serious maladministration would be things like accepting bribes, for example. It would be excessive use of force or assault. It could be improper associations with criminals, for example, OMCG groups. It could outlaw motorcycle gangs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it could be associations with them. It could be release of confidential police information. So, for example, looking up someone's record on the COPS database and then releasing that information, maybe for personal gain, could be something. And we also look at statements of claim. So when somebody sues the police in a civil case, we might look at that as a complaint if there's an allegation against a police officer as part of that civil case.
Mm. And when you say assaults, would it be all assaults would amount to serious misconduct?
It would depend. So if a complaint came to us that said somebody said that they'd been assaulted by an officer, perhaps when they were being arrested, that could be considered excessive use of force, or it could be considered assault. Now, we might look into that, and we might obtain CCTV footage of the arrest, for example, and we might consider that the use of force was justified, or we might look at it and maybe do a little bit more digging around it, speak to the officers around why they chose to use that level of force, and we might think actually that's excessive, and we might then make recommendations to the police that some form of disciplinary action or counselling be given to the officer, or if we think that there's criminal conduct involved, we will develop a brief of evidence which we will give to the Director of Public Prosecutions for consideration of criminal charges.
And are police officers required to answer questions that you ask them, or to can you compel them to be?
We can, yeah. So we have these powers under our legislation, but they're essentially Royal Commission powers where we can compel people to give evidence to us, and they're really fantastic powers to kind of get the information we need to really get to the heart of an issue, and see if there is criminal conduct or misconduct that needs to be addressed by the police force or the Crime Commission.
If people have a problem with police but it's not serious enough to amount to serious misconduct or serious maladministration, what would you recommend that they do?
Most of the time, if it doesn't meet that threshold, we would suggest making a complaint to the police. Most complaints are actually handled by the police or the Crime Commission about the conduct of their officers, but they may be the subject of oversight by the LEC, which we'll probably get into a little bit further into the podcast. But I will say that even if it doesn't meet that threshold and you wanted to make a complaint, you could still certainly make a complaint to the LEC, because we might assess it and say, actually, we think that there is some really serious misconduct or serious maladministration here. Or we may look at it, and if we are getting a number of complaints, for example, about a certain officer in a certain area, or a consistent number of complaints about misconduct in a certain police area command, even if it might not meet that serious misconduct or serious maladministration threshold, it may indicate a systemic issue either in that area or even across the police force or the Crime Commission. And that might then trigger us doing an audit, for example, using our audit powers and our audit team to go in and have a look at the issues in that area. Or it might trigger a prevention and education research project where we might go in and look at the policies that the police and the Crime Commission have in place around certain issues and make recommendations for systemic change, so where we look at it really broadly. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, even if a complaint doesn't necessarily meet our threshold, the information contained in that complaint can be very useful for us to get a sense of what's happening in policing and law enforcement around New South Wales, and kind of identify any issues that are either really actively happening in the community or are maybe brewing. And that can be a really positive thing for the police as well, because I think, you know, if we can go in and say, look, we've looked at your policies and procedures, and we think there's some holes here, and you know, you could really strengthen it here, we can make recommendations as an independent civilian body, which they can then use to improve their processes. So I guess complaints aren't always a bad thing. They can actually be a really good way of engaging in reflective practice. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, obviously we do have a high threshold, but I would still encourage people to either complain directly to the police if they have some concerns. But if they didn't feel comfortable doing that, you could still come to the LEC and make a complaint. That information is still very useful for us. You can also complain to us anonymously. If you had concerns about your details being passed on to the police, for example, if you feared reprisal action, you can complain to us and request that we don't pass your contact details on to mm-hmm. the police.
Are there any kind of practical issues there? So with keeping it anonymous if there's limited people involved in the incident that you're complaining about?
Yes, yeah. So obviously it can be difficult if we need to follow up with complainants and they are anonymous to get more information about a certain incident. That can be tricky, but you can complain to us and give us your contact details and liaise with us, but request that the LEC not pass on your contact details to the police. So in some respects, that can actually kind of take away that issue. The other thing I guess to keep in mind is, if you are making a complaint anonymously, or if you're making a complaint on behalf of somebody that doesn't want their identity known, if the complaint is linked to a certain event, that may identify some of the people that are involved. So I guess that's something to keep in mind if you are making a complaint. And I guess the other thing I would say is to provide as much supporting information with the complaint as you possibly can, which saves us having to go back and forth. Obviously, the more evidence you have to support, or if you think there's CCTV footage, but you can't necessarily get it yourself, if you can let the LEC know and we can look at chasing that up as part of dealing with your complaint or assessing your complaint.
Is there a time limit to make a complaint to the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission?
Yeah, there's no time limit as such. Obviously, we don't have unlimited resources, so timeliness is pretty key. It's probably good to get your complaint in as soon as you possibly can, because if we are doing things like seizing CCTV footage, for example, there are time limits for how long that footage is stored. So my advice would be to get a complaint in as soon as possible after the fact, after the incident. If there is one that is probably a few years old or is more historic, but maybe new information has come to light that might support that complaint, I would also encourage you to submit that to the LEC if you feel that it should be a complaint that should be investigated. If there is an historic complaint that maybe people haven't felt confident in the past, given that we are a new organisation, people haven't felt confident to go to maybe one of the previous organisations, but they would like to bring a matter to us, absolutely do so, and just try and have as much supporting information as you possibly can.
There are some time limits that community workers need to be aware of, though. For example, if someone is assaulted by police, there is a 3-year time limit. There are different time limits in other situations, such as if the police were to unlawfully detain you. The big message, as always, is you should get legal advice as soon as possible.
And I guess this is probably a good time to just kind of emphasise that the majority of police do a really good job in a challenging situation, and that even although this podcast is focused on what to do when police officers break the law or act unprofessionally.
Yeah, I think that's really important to acknowledge. I mean, from memory, the police force is about 20,000 strong. So that's 16,000 sworn officers and 4,000 civilian employees. And they do a really difficult job in difficult circumstances. And, I do think that's really important to acknowledge. And as I said before, I think sometimes complaints can be a really positive thing for every organisation, because it can identify holes in policies or procedures or systems where we can look to improve and make recommendations that can assist police and the Crime Commission to improve those processes.
And just going to give you some scenarios, and I'd like you to tell me where people should complain if they have this issue. So the first one is where police are rude to somebody outside of a police station.
So that generally, obviously it depends on the nature of how rude they are and the language used, but if somebody just feels a bit aggrieved that, an officer hasn't been terribly polite to them, I would suggest complaining to the police. You can literally just go into the police station there and make a complaint to the officer on duty. If you felt concerned about possible reprisal action, you can still complain to the LEC about that issue. Mm-hmm. But also understand that given that it probably doesn't meet our threshold, it'll probably be referred back to the police to handle it as the complaint themselves, unless the person who's making the complaint to us specifically requests that it's not referred back to the police.
And when you talk about reprisal action, that's just some kind of revenge kind of thing by the police because that person's made a complaint.
That's right. So that comes up quite a lot when I speak to people in the community. And whether it's justified or not, obviously a lot of people feel nervous when they're making complaint about any large organisation, mm-hmm. particularly when you're just an individual. People feel concerned maybe that there's a power imbalance. They worry that it might affect their relationship with the police moving forward. So that is something that comes up a lot. And obviously, that's completely justified, which is why it's really important that the LEC exists and that you do have a civilian oversight body that people can go to if they don't feel confident to go to the police.
Mm-hmm. And that oversight function, is that... Sorry, we'll go back to this in a moment.
Yeah, that's okay.
The oversight function, is that every time somebody makes a complaint about police to their local area command, would would you be made aware of that complaint being made?
No. So the way the oversight function works, so I guess if you look at the LEC, we have two distinct functions. We've got that investigation of the serious misconduct and serious maladministration, which is, you know, as I said before, it could be, you know, bribes, improper associations, that kind of thing. And then you've got the oversight function, and the oversight function still looks at complaints about serious misconduct and serious maladministration, but how the police investigate those complaints. So most complaints are investigated by the police just because of the sheer volume of them. The LEC doesn't have the resources to investigate all of them. So if, as I mentioned before, if it's serious misconduct or serious maladministration, it's considered a notifiable matter or a notifiable complaint. So what happens is when a complaint is made to the police and it meets that threshold of being a notifiable complaint, it gets put into their complaint database. And we have an officer who goes through every week and looks at every single notifiable complaint, and we'll pull those out. And we also get complaints from the public and from members of parliament, for example, journalists. We get complaints from other police as well. And what happens is, every week we have a complaint action panel, which consists of senior commission staff, including the three commissioners, who all get together and have a look at all of the notifiable complaints that have come through. And if they think, oh, this is really serious, something, you know, there's something that we really need to look at here, that might go over to that integrity investigation side, where they will use those Royal Commission powers to do an investigation. Or they might say, look, this doesn't look great, but we think this should actually be investigated by the police. We'll give this to the oversight team, and the oversight team can then oversight how the police handle that complaint. Okay. So it's a little bit complex, but so just to explain, the oversight team, there are a couple of different things they can do. They can either monitor the police's investigation in real time of how they handle that complaint. So they might look at it and go, they get the complaint file and they say, okay, well, let's have a look at, you know, who's investigating this complaint about this officer. Is there a conflict of interest there? Should this actually be handled by a different area command? Has the complaint...
So that's something that happens, that there will be a separate local area command that will investigate a complaint.
Could be, yeah. If somebody feels that there's a conflict of interest in that area command, then it might be a recommendation that the LEC makes that, actually, no, we think this should be investigated, or, for example, by the professional standards command, and that's the police's professional conduct unit. They might also look at things like how the complaint has been classified. So if there are a number of allegations in the complaint, they might look at it and say, oh, look, we don't think you've put in enough allegation classifications, you've just lumped them all into one. We think that you might need to broaden it out a little bit. It doesn't really capture the nature of the complaint. So our investigators can monitor how the police are dealing with that in real time. They could also get a complaint where a complaint's been made to the police, and they might look at it and go, look, we've had a look at how the police have triaged this complaint. We're pretty confident, it looks pretty good, but maybe what we'll do is we might actually just review how they handle it at the end of the police's investigation. So when the police complete that investigation into the complaint, our investigators might say, oh, look, you've done a great job. We ratify what you've done. We completely agree. Or they might say, oh, look, we've got a few concerns about, we think that there should be some kind of disciplinary outcome here, or there should be some counselling for the officer, but you don't appear to have done that. This would be our recommendation. Or if a complaint is closed by the police, we can actually direct them to reopen an investigation. If we look at the action and they've closed it and said, oh, no, there's nothing here, we can actually say, no, we're concerned about this. You need to reopen and reinvestigate this complaint. So that's kind of what the oversight team does in a nutshell. And I know there's often a lot of criticism of police investigating police. There's a lot of concern about that. And I guess that's where our oversight function is really useful, because it's an independent civilian oversight function. And we have these great powers where we can really look at how the police are handling complaints about their own officers.
have a lot of complaints come in since the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission started on 1st of July 2017?
There were some cases that came over from pre-1 July. So from the Ombudsman's Office, for example, quite a lot of cases came over. And there are a number of complaints that are the subject of oversight. And there's quite a lot of work that goes into that as well, because you have to look through the entire file and assess the entire file. And particularly if you're doing the real-time monitoring of a case, that's quite time intensive as well. So there's a lot of work for our investigators.
And I'll just go back to this exercise where I outline a scenario and you tell our community workers where a complaint should be made. The next one is someone says that they've been assaulted by police, a person now has a broken arm.
Look, that to me would be serious misconduct on the face of it. So I would suggest that they actually complain to, if they didn't want to complain to the police, that they complain directly to the LEC. I guess just to reiterate what I said before, have as much supporting documentation as you can, and that could include medical records, for example, or if you knew that there was CCTV footage of the alleged assault, you could put that in the complaint so that our investigators, if we did choose to investigate, could actually seek out that CCTV footage. So no, that would be quite serious, and I would suggest coming to the LEC directly.
Would you ever give compensation in that situation?
No, that's not decided by us. That would be, I would assume that would be part of a civil case. So when we do an investigation, if we have hearings, we do a report to, if we have a public hearing, we do a report to Parliament, which includes our findings, but it might also include any information around briefs of evidence that have been supplied to the Director of Public Prosecutions if we think that there's criminal charges that could be relevant. And if we have private hearings, I'm going to have to check this, but I believe that we do a report to the Commissioner of Police and the Minister for Police, but I'd have to check that.
Yeah, that's fine. But the actual outcome that the person making the complaint gets, what does that range from?
So we don't lay the charges ourselves, and we can't, we don't enforce the disciplinary action ourselves, but we make the recommendations. So we use our powers, our Royal Commission powers, to get to the crux of a matter, and then we will make recommendations based on the evidence that's before us. Mm-hmm. Now, I would recommend, if people make a complaint, to request that the outcome be sent to them. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously, if you had an investigation into a serious assault, there's a very good chance that our investigator would be probably speaking to the complainant on a semi-regular basis to get more information anyway, and then would be told of the outcome. But I would always suggest that if you are putting in a complaint, make sure that you ask for a notification of the outcome of that complaint.
Mm. If somebody is wanting compensation, they really do need to speak to a lawyer, and they should be getting early legal advice.
Yes.
The best way for them to do that is to call Law Access New South Wales on 1300 888 529. And they will be able to connect you to a lawyer at your local legal aid or community legal centre.
Mm. And I think it's worth noting as well that even before putting in a complaint, it's probably always good to get legal advice even before putting in a complaint, if you can.
Every time.
Yes. Yeah.
That's Legal Aid Podcast. Get legal advice early every time.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
The next situation that I'm going to outline is a police officer accepts a bribe.
Yeah. So that's also a notifiable complaint, which means that it meets that threshold of serious misconduct. So I would, again, say definitely put that in as a complaint to the LEC. You can still complain to the police, but you can obviously complain directly to the LEC as well.
Okay. A police officer from the Australian Federal Police is accused of seriously assaulting someone.
That's a really interesting question, because we don't have jurisdiction over AFP officers. So that's actually a federal government organisation. So in that instance, you would actually make a complaint to ACLEI, which stands for the Australian Commission for Law Enforcement Integrity, and they are the federal oversight body for law enforcement, and that includes the AFP.
The next situation is, we'll say, a young person who says that police are constantly harassing them. what would you recommend in that situation?
Yeah, look, you can definitely complain to us. We are actually looking at we're looking at a police policy at the moment called STMP, which stands for Suspect Target Management Plan, which is a policing tool to police frequent offenders. I know that some young people may feel that they've been the subject of an STMP and feel that as part of that they may feel harassed by the police. You can absolutely put in a complaint to us. Again, keep as much information or evidence as you possibly can. So, you know, keep times, keep dates, keep details of what the harassment is, and put in a complaint to us. It may not meet the threshold of serious misconduct, but as I said, if we were seeing a pattern in a certain area where we were getting a number of complaints from young people who felt like they were being harassed for whatever reason, it could be riding a bike without a helmet. It could just indicate that, oh, well, maybe there's some issues going on in that area. Maybe there needs to be some policy change. Maybe there's not enough resourcing. So that information is still really useful for us to kind of look at the broader picture of policing in that area and what some of the issues might be.
With it being a young person that is making the complaint, are there particular people within the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission that are, I don't know, is there a youth-specific person or are there specific for kind of some of the groups in our community that are more marginalised? Are they catered for it?
They are, and it's an area where we need to do not do more work, but it's a kind of a consistently evolving area. So my role as the manager of community engagement is to look at our service delivery to a whole range of different hard to reach groups, or groups that might be vulnerable, for example. I think we can always do more. We don't have a youth liaison officer, but our assessment officers who do speak to complainants are very experienced in taking complaints and assessing complaints and working with a wide range of communities. I would say that if anybody from a remote community or a young person, if they weren't sure about what their options were or they wanted to get a bit of advice, obviously speak to a lawyer, but you can give us a call as well. You can just call the LEC and either, you know, speak to me or speak to an assessment officer and outline some of your concerns, and we can give you a little bit of advice about how you can put in a complaint to us. So it does say in our legislation, it does say that a complaint must be in writing. We are very conscious of the fact that not everybody has access to a computer to send an email or do a complaint through our website. Not everybody has access to a pen and paper and a stamp and an envelope. So we can actually assist people to reduce their complaint to writing if they contact us and they do want to make a complaint, but they can't necessarily do it themselves. We can provide translation services. We're working on some easy English and culturally and linguistically diverse resources as well for members of the community. So it's an ever-evolving area, and I think it's something where we really need to keep on top of our game to make sure we are accessible, particularly when a lot of hard-to-reach communities can have quite a few interactions with law enforcement. So obviously it's an area that we really need to keep on top of.
A similar situation with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander members of our community.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess my view is I joined the LEC from Juvenile Justice, where we had over 50% of kids in custody were from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, which is obviously really concerning. And I think if you look at the custodial population and the overrepresentation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in that population, it would indicate that they're having a lot of interactions with law enforcement. And that to me would indicate that if there will be allegations of misconduct, then we should really be talking to those communities because they're having a lot of those interactions. Mm-hmm. I've been spending quite a bit of time going out to communities and talking to community legal centres and the Aboriginal Legal Service and Legal Aid as well, just to raise a bit of awareness about our services and how people can complain to us and the types of things we'll investigate. And I guess we really rely on the community workers to kind of help us spread that message and act as a bit of a conduit between the commission, the LEC, and the community that we serve, because we don't have unlimited resources, unfortunately. Yeah. I'd love it if we had more staff and we could be in every community, but unfortunately we can't.
And the last situation I was going to give you is police stops someone and searches them, and the person says there was no reason for this to happen.
Yeah. Look, absolutely. Again, make a complaint to us, or you can complain to the police if there's no genuine reason. And I guess that would tie in with the harassment. If you feel that you've been stopped and searched for absolutely no reason, absolutely put in a complaint to us and we can look into it.
We've gone a little bit over time, but I'm thinking that our listeners might be interested.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about one case that you've that the LEC has investigated and what the outcome was?
Sure. So this is actually, I don't actually have an outcome for this one yet because it is a current active investigation, but some of the listeners might have seen recently there was a story on A Current Affair on Channel 9 where footage was aired of a young person being arrested in Byron Bay, and there were a number of officers involved, and a taser was used, and there were allegations of excessive use of force from that footage. So after A Current Affair aired that footage, we did get a number of complaints from members of the community about the use of force that was shown in the video. Consequently, we launched our own investigation, and we got copies of the original video and other things like the taser footage as well. And we recently held public hearings into the conduct of the officers involved on that evening in Byron Bay in terms of the arrest of the young person or the detention of the young person. I think that's an interesting example because it was a member of the public that took the video, obviously was concerned, supplied it to the media. It's come to us. We've had a number of complaints. We've launched our own investigation. We've used our powers to get information which assists us in analysing the situation. We've held public hearings, and we are now currently, the public hearing has been completed, and our chief commissioner, who was presiding in that hearing, will now look at all the evidence. He may make further inquiries. He may do things like look at the policy around use of force, for example, or the policies around taser use. And because it was a public hearing, he will then do a report to Parliament, to both Houses of Parliament, and will include in that his findings. And if he thinks that there may be criminal charges regarding the conduct of the officers involved, he can forward a brief of evidence to the DPP for consideration of criminal charges. So that's one that's active now. We haven't published the findings yet or published a report to Parliament. When we make a report to Parliament, we usually make a recommendation that it's made public, so that will go on our website, but that's one example of the types of matters that we're looking in at the moment.
And I guess one thing that I've got from chatting to you, and it's been really interesting,
thank you,
is that LEC can be a really powerful tool to systemically change the way the police are conducting themselves in a particular community.
So
if people are having problems with police in their particular community, that a complaint to LEC could be a way
to trigger
and change that relationship.
Absolutely. And the other thing I would add as well is that we really rely on community workers bringing issues to our attention as well. So, you know, we are very conscious of the fact that some people don't like complaining for a number of different reasons. They may fear reprisal action. Some people just can't be bothered. You know, they just think, oh, I've dealt with this issue. I don't want to dredge it up again. I just want it done with. So I understand that. But I do think, you know, community organisations often at the coalface are really on top of some of the issues. Mm-hmm. And that information is invaluable for us because we don't have community offices where we work in the city. I get out to the community and regional and rural and remote areas as much as I can. But we really rely on those community organisations giving us that information. So even if it's not a complaint per se, even if you had information that you thought, look, there's some real issues here. We think the policies, you know, there could even be maladministration because of how the policy is being implemented by the police, or there's real issues in this community and this is what the issue might be. I would still encourage people to supply that information to us. There's an email address on our website. I think it's just contactus@lecc.nsw.gov.au. You can just send that through, and that will usually come to me and I'll feed that through to our research team. But yeah, we really do rely on community organisations sharing with us what they know about what's happening with law enforcement in their own communities.
for me, the takeaway messages as we finish up is that people should get legal advice as soon as possible. And that number again that I mentioned before is Law Access New South Wales, 1300 888 529. So you can get your general information from them about making a complaint about police, and they can also put you in contact with a lawyer from Legal Aid New South Wales or your local community legal centre, and they can give you advice about what is the best way to pursue your complaint and let Coodwell form a part of that. Mm. And the best way to make a complaint to the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission is just by visiting your website.
Yeah, so you can visit the website. We have an online complaint form on there. We can also organise translators for you. You can give us a call if you wanted to get a bit of advice about how to put your complaint in. You can also email us if you wanted to do it that way. You can write to us. Our address is on the website. So there's a number of different ways that you can contact us, but I guess the main way would be through the LEC website, which is www.lecc.nsw.gov.au.
No worries. And we'll put those details on the podcast description. And maybe the only other kind of key message that I wanted to get across was if you do have a complaint about police, do see a lawyer as soon as possible, because some of that evidence won't be around forever. CCTV footage is only kept for a certain period of time. So it is something where you do want to see a lawyer as soon as possible. Mm. And thanks so much for listening, everybody. And thank you so much to Louisa Deer from the Law Enforcement Conduct Commission. It's been really, really interesting. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you're enjoying Law for Community Workers on the Go, make sure to spread the word. And if you have any feedback or even topic suggestions, please get in touch with us via email. Our address is cle@legalaid.newsouthwales.gov.au. We'd love to hear from you. So until next time, thanks again from the CLE branch here at Legal Aid New South Wales.